Herzlich willkommen zu unserem FKA Mobility Podcast. Als Partner der Automobilindustrie erarbeitet die FKA innovative Lösungen und bietet strategische Beratung rund um das Kraftfahrzeug. Wir sind Forschungseinrichtung, kreativer Ideengeber und Innovationstreiber. Mein Name ist Kerstin und ich arbeite im Team Marketing und Kommunikation bei der FKA.
Creating ideas and driving innovations. FKA.
Welcome to part 2 of our FKA Mobility podcast episode about the tire modeling. In part 1, we talked about the advantages and the different modeling approaches. And now we would like to dive in a bit deeper into the parametrization and the application of tire models. And at the end, we will take a look into the future of the tire research. You know the guests already from the first episode, Jan Friedrichs and Mark Harris. Jan Friedrichs from the Institute of Automotive Engineering of the RWTH Aachen University and Mark Harris from the FKA. Welcome back! So you just explained to me that after deciding for one standardized model, you then have to define the parameters. How are these parameters determined?
Well, ideally the starting point is always tire testing. Depending on the model selected for a given use case, we will define an appropriate measurement program to ensure that we know the particular tire characteristics we're looking to reproduce in the simulation environment. For this, we use a mixture of internally developed and industry standard tire test procedures. The really important detail here is that each individual test will be defined in order to isolate and reproducibly and accurately extract a certain particular tire characteristic that we need for our model parametrization.
So in the next step, the parametrization is performed by one of our simulation engineers. Of course, you have to start with a parameter set that needs to be guessed. Luckily, we have experience from hundreds of tire models we created over the last decades. And so, unfortunately, in 99% we have a model that doesn't show the same behavior as a real tire. But, and this is very important to say, it is numerically stable and it is a good basis for the ongoing iteratively optimization routine. So we change the parameters of the model, simulate the maneuver of the measurement, and compare the curves of the tire's forces, tire's moments, and the tire's deflection between the simulation and the measurement. And the aim is then that all the curves lie on top of each other. As Mark said before, we have a set of measurements. The measurements are designed in a way that specific parameters can be addressed because they have a main influence at these specific measurements. And this helps us to find the correct parameters, but I have to say the parameters also interfere with each other. And so in the end, we have to find the whole parameter set that fits to all measurements. In the case of the physical tire models, we can also adjust some parameters directly at the beginning because we can measure them. This is, for example, the tire dimension, the unloaded diameter, or the rubber harshness, or the tread design. The friction and the structure parameters usually need some simulation loops or many simulation loops. And to find the best fitted parameters, we also use some automated routine tools, in which the parameters are varied in the defined window and then simulated. And in that way, we can be sure to find the optimal parameter set.
Okay, so testing and experience is the key here. You just talked about that you have automated routines, but why can you not use fully automated optimization routines?
Well, to some extent, it is possible with the mathematical empirical models. Their simulation time is quite small, and the optimization methods, such as genetic algorithms, to find the global optimum of the parameter set, is possible. Well, however, this algorithm needs to handle way over 100 parameters, and semi-physical tire models often use up to 200 parameters or more. So the amount of simulation is enormous. It is simply not efficient enough to vary all parameters at the same time in these algorithms. And as they counteract with each other, it is also challenging to consider only a low percentage of parameters. Sometimes the algorithm also may vary a certain parameter so that the specific measured tire characteristic is reproduced perfectly. However, when it comes to extrapolated conditions, the simulation would fail because it is numerically unstable, because the parameter is physically not sensible. But then in other cases, a certain parameter overcompensates other parameters, and it has more influence on a specific tire characteristic. Again, the measured condition could be captured perfectly. However, simulating an extrapolated condition, the tire model could behave non-realistic. So here, the high knowledge of the simulation engineer would find the right compromise of all the parameters. However, I see high potential in artificial intelligence applications in parametrization. But today, a mix of individual parametrization and optimization tools for single parameters is the key to an economically reasonable parameter set.
This is the reason why we need to have a whole team of specialists that have years of experience in parametrizing these kinds of models. So they have this know-how built up with different tires, different applications, learning when and where they need to adjust the optimization tools in order to ensure that they get a stable and high-quality model parameter set. At the same time, with each new parametrization, we're continuing to work on our toolset. As Jan mentioned, there's always potential for improvement in our software tools and our methods. But currently, this expert control of the parametrization process is, in our view, the key to getting the best results.
Okay, so the automatization can't take over your expertise within your team. So I understand that every parametrization process represents a unique challenge. So how do you know whether a model is ready?
Yes, that's a good question. The ideal result is that there is identical behavior of the tire forces, the moments, and the displacements in both measurement and simulation. And as I described before, this is not possible, unfortunately. We define some quality values when it comes to the comparison of simulation and measurement. For example, the root mean square value of the deviation between the two could be an indicator how good a parameter set is. In the end, there usually comes the moment when the variation of one parameter will improve a specific tire characteristic, let's say the cornering stiffness, and at the same time, this variation worsens another tire characteristics, let's say the model, the modal behavior. So we have to find the best compromise to cover all the tire behaviors. In the end, we also check the extrapolation stability. There are final checks that guarantee a stable and physically sensible tire behavior under all possible operation conditions. For example, usually a tire model is parametrized for one or two inflation pressures, but principally you are able to vary this pressure for your simulation. And so we check then whether the model reacts physically sensible, although we even don't have the validation measurements for that. But it is important to us that the model is numerically stable for all imaginable use cases.
Yeah, and this is also related to a point I mentioned earlier. It's really important for us to discuss with the customer what they plan to do with the tire model and what their expected use case is. Exactly like Jan said, there is always the question of whether or not they will really be running all of their simulations under the same conditions where we ran our testing and performed the parametrization. We also need to get a sense of whether this is meant to be an all-round, all-purpose model, or if the customer is focused on particular tire characteristics like comfort or handling, or even maybe if they need to do something more specialized, like investigate temperature dependency in critical maneuvers, say maybe a racing application or something like that. These details all feed into the complications that Jan's been explaining to us that require compromises and decisions, and really that expert to step in and control the parametrization process. These challenges can be best mastered when we've had a good enough discussion with the customer to really know the purpose of the model and the end use. Only then can we best determine when a parameter set is truly ready.
So the communication with the customer is here really important to really get to know their needs. But why do your customers ask you to parameterize a tire model? Can't they just do it themselves?
To an extent, they could do it themselves. However, we like to think that we don't just offer a service here, but rather we play a role as a development partner and help our customers to achieve better results with their tire models. A big part of what we have at FKA is access to a whole hardware package where we have tire test benches that are specifically designed in order to run particular tests for particular tire models in the best and most accurate way possible. We have a specific test bench for comfort and durability analysis. We have a specific test bench designed just to extract the stiffness characteristics needed for physical tire models. We have separate test benches for handling characteristics, and even for requirements where the customer says they need real road testing on particular road surfaces. So we have tire testing capabilities beyond what the customer can reasonably put together themselves. Beyond that, what we can really bring to the table as a development partner is our combined knowledge of the hardware, so the testing side, and of the simulation and parameterization side, and the fact that we are doing all of this in-house with people that can just go and talk to each other. Combining that with our experience and the expertise available when you have a whole department dedicated to tire technology, our customers get an excellent value coming to us for their tire modeling needs.
Yeah, the advantages are clear. You get the full package from you and your team. We talk now a lot about the methods. Let's go on to the actual applications of the tire models. Are there any projects you can name that have a very specific use case for the tire model?
Well, there's certainly a lot of examples. Actually, one of the really surprisingly interesting use cases is one Jan already mentioned. Parking maneuvers. You would think this is some of the simplest tire behavior to describe and model, but it's actually quite a complex and interesting topic. On the other hand, maybe a different application that's worth diving into a little bit is temperature. You see, rubber behavior is very temperature dependent, and this means that tire behavior is very temperature dependent. But historically, most tire models didn't consider temperature. Now, this is starting to change, and that poses a lot of new questions about temperature modeling. When is it necessary? How do you handle it? What are we actually talking about with temperature modeling? Now, I ask that because you've got two aspects you always have to consider. You need a thermal model to predict what temperature the tire will have in a given condition. So, how does it heat up and how does it cool down during a simulation? Then you have the tire response to that temperature change. So you really have two modeling tasks that you have to add into your simulation, which is of course increasing your computational requirements. Modeling temperature dependency also requires additional time-consuming testing, including additional sensors, in order to get enough information about how the tire temperature is developing during the test. Now, this extra effort is worth it in many cases. The temperature at which you achieve your peak friction capabilities heavily impacts your peak handling performance, and how the tire responds after heating up beyond that peak performance is, of course, a safety critical aspect. And the thing is that these temperature curves vary a lot between tires. So, temperature discussions are really an open topic that's quite interesting and actually asks a lot of us here in FKA and all the different teams we have. So we have to improve our testing methodology, our sensors, and then we have to take all of that additional data we generate and pass it on to the simulation team and ensure that we get the best parameter set and model response out of it.
I can also contribute a very specific use case for the tire models. On the side of the Institute of Automotive Engineering, I can talk about a public research project, which is the research group FOR 2089. The project is called Durable Road Pavements for Future Traffic Loads. which is sponsored by the German Research Foundation. One topic is the determination of the detailed shear stresses at the asphalt surface layer, down to a single grain. So the aim is to validate a physical tire model for such a simulation application, and the next step to simulate and analyze the tire behavior on different asphalt textures. Well, unfortunately, the measurement of this use case is not that easy. In principle, there are pressure imaging mats that you can put on the road and ride over it. But the problem is that you change the texture with it, and on top of it, the sensor would get damaged very fast. So we went a step back and tried to measure the ground pressure distribution and the shear pressure distribution of a rolling tire at various conditions on a flat surface. And for this use case, we implemented a so-called force matrix sensor by the company AND on our test track. And this sensor is built up as an array of 40 sensor pins, which measure the local pressure and shear stresses on the basis of strain gauges. And with our mobile tire test rig, we approach this sensor, and in this time, the measuring tire is set to constant conditions. In the next parameterization step, we then are able to validate these shear stresses and the ground pressure distribution, which was up to that point not possible, because for standard laboratory tire models, we only measure the ground pressure distribution for a non-rolling tire. We found out that the tire model already behaved quite close to reality, but we saw that the outer contour of the tire model has a huge influence on the ground pressure distribution and result, of course, the shear stresses. So we scanned the tire and implemented the correct contour into the model. And so after that and some other changes in the parameter set, the ground pressures in the simulation and in measurement were nearly the same, and the ongoing simulations on the asphalt texture then is more realistic than without this discretization step. These projects also help us to improve our laboratory tire models, because now we have standardized processes that guarantees us the real geometric parameters with the help of these tire outer contour scans. So the extrapolation quality for our customer tire models can be improved by a lot.
Yeah, these two examples show very well that the tire modeling is a very important tool. We are slowly coming to the end of this conversation, but at the end, let's take a look into the future. Are there any future trends you are concerned about?
Well, we try not to have a view on the tire itself alone, but to have a more holistic view on the tire simulation. The tire has two contact partners, the rim and the road. Only if you consider these contact partners, you can expand the boundaries of an existing tire model, because they have a huge influence on the tire behavior. So we're currently working on both interaction areas. The influence of the rim has been tested for a wide range of load cases, and in the end we try to cover this behavior of the rim in the modulation. Maybe in form of a flexible rim model. And some tire model developer already offer such an application for this use case. On the other side, we look onto the road and what influences it has on the tire behavior, as I mentioned before. On the measurement side, we have a mobile tire test rig to perform the measurements we do in the lab, also on the real road. And these measurements also help us to have a reference for the tire models and the possibility to not only simulate free rolling maneuvers on rough road for comfort analysis, but also to simulate and analyze how the various textures of the asphalt or concrete influence the driving dynamics. So coming back to the beginning with the example of understeering and oversteering. Under this background, tire wear is also a research topic. We started to have a deep dive into that. The local abrasion of the rubber on the one side is negative input to the environment and needs to be measured and reduced. On the other side, the tire wear also has an influence on the tire behavior. Both use cases shall in the future be simulated with the help of tire models.
I can add a couple of small points. Of course, the temperature aspect of tire modeling that I mentioned before is also worth mentioning here. The number of people who need to consider temperature in their simulations in order to get the required level of accuracy is really increasing. And as computers get better, it's becoming possible to include these additional modeling aspects in more and more simulations. So I talked before about how temperature modeling places demands on testing as well as simulation. And this isn't the only case where this combination of improvements is paying off. So here in Aachen, we've now had an MTS CT Plus flat track for a few years. And this has opened up some new possibilities for us. So the flat track offers testing on a flat surface instead of a more traditional drum, and that has clear advantages, particularly for empirical tire models. But the flat track is also very dynamic. So we're able to investigate tire transient characteristics, both for steering and for driving and braking conditions, up to frequency levels that really push some of the models to their limits. Transient conditions are important both for emergency situations and also for handling feel and performance. So this is improving our ability to parameterize those models and also enabling us to discuss the modeling limits and where some modeling improvements may be necessary. It's really another neat topic where we have a combination of improvements in our testing capability, combining with improvements in tire modeling and also in our parameterization process. And these are the kind of topics that we want to keep working on together with our customers and our partners.
That sounds like an exciting future for the tire research. Yeah, what we've learned from this episode today is that tire modeling is a very complex topic. There are different types of approaches in order to find the perfect tire for different situations. All parameters need to be considered in order to create a good fit. And with the tire modeling, also tires for very specific use cases can be developed. Mark and Jan, thank you that you were here in our podcast today and for giving us all these insights into the topic of tire modeling.
Yeah, Kirsten, thanks for having us. Jan, thanks for joining. And thanks to everyone who's listening. I hope to see you at the FTIR user meeting.
Yeah, also thank you from our side and see you on the FTIR user meeting, Mark.
Creating ideas and driving innovations. FKR.